We're going to spend the next several minutes in the infectious disease world. Emergency medical training happens all the time in our area, but an event yesterday was unusual. In this case, a 747 en route from Boise landed at Spokane International Airport. It was carrying a staff of medical professionals and four patients pretending to have the Ebola virus. The nose of the plane opened up, and workers wearing special protective gear wheeled a gurney with a similarly gowned-up patient out to a lift. From there, they were lowered to the ground, and a medical worker walked with the patient to a waiting ambulance, which took them to Sacred Heart. The hospital is one of 10 in the nation designated by the federal government as a regional treatment center for people with deadly and transmissible diseases such as Ebola. The other two patients were to be flown to Los Angeles later in the afternoon. As part of this exercise, the plane sat on the tarmac for a couple of hours to allow local officials, from the mayor to the regional health officer, to get a tour. We went along too. Imagine a huge airliner stripped of its seats, except for about 10 rows of two on the right side of the plane. The big jet is operated by Phoenix Air, which bills itself as the only company in the world capable of transporting highly infectious patients in an intensive care unit environment. It's the firm the State Department calls when it's necessary to move people with highly infectious diseases from overseas back to the U.S. The main features inside are two big white containers, each of the size of a single wide mobile home. These are the areas where the patients and their caregivers are quarantined. Over his blue jumpsuit, Vance Farabee wears a vest that reads Safety Officer. Farabee is the nurse manager for the Air Ambulance Division of Phoenix Air. He takes us inside one of these units. Farabee calls it a box. On a medical transport mission, this box is home to as many as 9 people, 5 medical staff, and up to 4 patients. The box has 3 areas. The main room is a unit with 4 metal cots where the patients can lie down, hooked up to medical monitors. Farabee takes us to a small room on the end where people enter the unit. You'll hear him reference 2 acronyms that are probably foreign to you. PPE stands for Personal Protective Equipment, and PAPR means Powered Air Purifying Respirator.
So what you have to visualize is in this very large space, we have our 5 caregivers. Each caregiver has 10 packs of PPE. So it's already been pre-sized, pre-selected by them, packed into their own Ziploc bag, and then we just tape them to the wall like potato chips at the checkout counter because we've got 50 bags of PPE. Because we wear PAPRs and the PAPR hoods don't compress very well, we have a box of 50 PAPR hoods in here. Then we've got food and drink for 9 people, and then everyone has a little box of their own personal stuff they want to mess with. And then spare supplies for items that we're not using in there. And so it's pretty snug, but you're so glad to get in here, you don't care. No one leaves the box once the trip begins. So if you're in the box, you're in the box till it's over. There's a camper toilet in here for our staff. There's 2 camper toilets in there for the patients. The shelf over the bed is where we mount all of our medical equipment, so monitors and IV pumps and whatnot, and the way it's currently set up, all of that is one-time use only. Mm-hmm. So if we were doing a real trip, then we're throwing away 4 monitors, 4 pumps, 4 ventilators, etc., etc. I think once this moves from training into real world, they'll probably try to think of another way to work that, but that's the way it is right now. So this again is where you don, and just like in all settings where this takes place, you have a person, what we call a trained observer, a TO, and they're reading from a very specific list that you've trained on, and they're telling you, take your left hand, lean forward, pull your hood, do this, do that, wash your hands, now do this. So it's, especially on the doffing part, the time when a caregiver gets contaminated is typically during doffing. It's just poor technique or a break in technique that maybe you weren't even aware of. So the doffing is very, very important. The donning, important, but less so. And you just make sure that everything is covered, your PPE is intact, you've put things off in the right order so that you can take them off in the right order. So once you're dressed out in here, you move in here, you're not really doing anything, you're already dressed, you got your PAPR, and you go in here and you do your patient care. When we do the swab, person number four comes in here to relieve one of the three. And when they go in, you start the decon process actually in the patient compartment, which is the most contaminated area, because what we try to do is before we get into this room, which is still considered dirty, we're trying to get rid of a lot of the dirt, the potential contamination. So in here, we're wearing a little apron. You are completely sprayed and wiped down, including everything that can be reached by that person. And then as you transition in here, you're going to lose a pair of booties. So now you're in here just in your coveralls that have integrated booties. And then with that person guiding you, they're talking to you on a mic, they're looking at you through the window, they're reading from the thing, and they're watching to make sure that you're following correct technique. They tell you line by line to get rid of your PPE. You also are going to finish decontaminating your PAPR, and then it goes into a box here, and then you eventually transition in there. And then when you come back out, you're dressed out, you come in here, you get your same PAPR that you deconned, and you hook it up, and you go in there and go back to work.
Vance Farabee is the nurse manager of the Air Ambulance Division of Phoenix Air. Its 747 brought mock patients to Spokane yesterday to practice an Ebola scenario.